Good morning. Beautiful morning. In today's gospel, Jesus lays it on the line of what is required to come after him. When I worked in the auto industry, I read a weekly column in an online publication called The Auto Extremist, still active. And the motto of the site was the bare-knuckled, unvarnished, high-octane truth. Yeah, the bare-knuckled, unvarnished, high-octane truth. Very edgy commentary. Well, that's what we have today from Jesus. And immediately preceding today's gospel, we have the confession and the profession of the faith of Peter, which God revealed to him that, yes, Lord, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And once the disciples understood this, they understood that Jesus was the Messiah. It was then, from that time, that Jesus began teaching them that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things, and die at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and scribes. It was at that point that Peter rebukes Jesus, saying, God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen to you. Peter vigorously rejects the idea that Jesus will have to suffer and die. And it is then that Jesus says to Peter in rebuke, get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. What a contrast. We've gone from blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, to get behind me, Satan. Clearly, then, there are two distinct ways of thinking, God's way and man's way. As Isaiah prophesied nearly 800 years before, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And today, Jesus explains to us what is required for us to follow, to come after him. In straightforward terms, he gives us the bare-knuckled, unvarnished, high-octane truth. And there are these three requirements. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That is the way God thinks. The way we think, the way the world thinks at times is accept, even celebrate yourself, take up comfort and ease, and follow your dreams. There's an old expression, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, but it might be more accurate to say the road to hell is broad, well-traveled, and trodden down. As Jesus said, the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. And their anthem, their hymn as they walk that road, is Frank Sinatra's signature song, My Way. Consider these lyrics. And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I traveled each and every highway, and more, much more than this. I did it my way. We can hear those words ring. Many of you have seen the series The Chosen. In the first season of 8 episodes, one of the most prominent figures in this series is Nicodemus. He's a well-respected Pharisee, rabbi, and he plays a very prominent role in that scene where he and his wife are talking about their life together. She and Nico, as she affectionately calls him, live comfortable, a comfortable, relatively wealthy and happy life. And at one point she says to him, "I love our life." And Nicodemus replies, "As do I." But there's a problem working inside Nicodemus as he says those words. Nicodemus, a humble and sincere seeker of truth, has become aware of Jesus and is fascinated with him. So he goes to meet him one evening. And near the end of their engaging conversation, Jesus looks at Nicodemus and says, "Follow me." Soon after, days, Jesus and the disciples are about to leave Capernaum. They meet in town with their gear and provisions for the journey, and as they gather, Nicodemus is seen hiding from them behind a stone wall, agonizing over the calling. The tension builds. He wants to go, but he also wants the life that he and his wife love. Jesus then says, "Time to go. Is everybody here?" Jesus looks up knowingly, and as though seeing through that wall, says, "You came so close." Nicodemus then collapses against the wall, writhing in anguish as they leave without him. And I can't help but think there are many of us at times that wrestle with this calling and what it means to each one of us. For some of us, it means fatherhood, being a husband, or motherhood and being a good wife, and following Jesus thoroughly and completely in that calling. Are we conflicted internally like Nicodemus? Could it be that we want to hold on to two lives? Perhaps we fear or don't understand the implications of what denying ourselves and losing our life entails. It seems easier for us to opt for a blended hybrid life. Or maybe we think we can gain at least some of the world while not losing our life. But in the end, it can't work. One or the other will necessarily triumph. The non-canonical Coptic Gospel of Thomas attributes an obscure saying to Jesus, makes a lot of sense, where he said, "It is not possible for a man to ride two horses." Denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following Jesus are essential preliminary steps which become the doorway to finding our unique place in the mission of the church in the world. And giving ourselves to it without reservation, becoming living sacrifices, as St. Paul says in our second reading. Because each of us, each one of us, has a very unique part in this mission to become fishers of men, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God and making disciples of all nations. And when the final curtain drops on our lives, may each one of us be able to say, "I did it not my way, but thy way." God bless you.